Why, if God was the creator of all things, were we supposed to praise him so incessantly for doing what came to him naturally? This seemed servile, apart from anything else. If Jesus could heal a blind person he happened to meet, then why not heal blindness? What was so wonderful about his casting out devils, so that the devils would enter a herd of pigs instead? That seemed sinister, more like black magic. With all this continual prayer, why no result? Why did I have to keep saying in public that I was a miserable sinner?
That's Christopher Hitchens reflecting on his early life when he was a nascent atheist, quickly becoming an atheist under some religious training. Of course, he's one of those new atheists that says he's not an atheist because he was mistreated by religion. He's an atheist in principle after clear and sound reflection. We're going to be reviewing his book, God Is Not Great, with Dr. Doug Grotheis here on Issues, Etc. Dr. Doug Grotheis is a regular guest. He's professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary. He's author of 10 books, including On Pascal and On Jesus. And he's also written an article in a recent edition of the Christian Research Journal titled Christopher Hitchens' Sledgehammer Rhetoric. Dr. Grotheis, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here and glad you are still in existence.
Thank you. So are we. Sledgehammer rhetoric. You say that's pretty much what Hitchens does from page one to the very final page of God Is Not Great. What do you mean by that phrase?
Well, it's a form of persuasion where you don't qualify anything. You put things in the strongest possible terms. For instance, he produces the worst possible examples of religious abuse and then condemns them in the strongest possible terms. So there's no nuance, there's no subtlety, there's no concession whatsoever to the other side. Think of the subtitle of the book. The book is called God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. So it poisons art, it poisons architecture, it poisons philanthropy, it poisons everything. That's sledgehammer rhetoric.
What about religion for Christopher Hitchens is toxic? What in particular does he find toxic?
Well, everything. His basic thesis is that religion is based on a pre-scientific, superstitious worldview, which has been eclipsed by a rational, scientific worldview. By that he means atheism, or to put it positively, naturalism. The world is a collection of natural facts which have no ultimate explanation beyond themselves. So we just have to grow up and realize the world has no purpose and meaning and make the best of it and certainly not revert to outdated superstition that is the cause of hatred and fear and so forth, as the opening salvo he gave indicates.
You say that one of the best ways to not only deal with but respond to the kind of rhetoric that Hitchens is dealing out in God Is Not Great is to, as you say, grant him the idea of God, small g, while defending the one true God, capital G, of biblical revelation. What do you mean?
Well, Christians have no obligation, there's no reason, to defend religion in general. Some people do this. They claim that all religions really lead to the same destination. This is called perennialism, typically, or there's another version of it called pluralism. But Christians need not undertake that impossible task because we certainly believe that there is one true God revealed in the Bible in Christ, and there are many counterfeits, many false gods, many idols. So, in fact, some of the things that Hitchens says in the book against, say, Mormonism, Eastern religions, or Islam, are good arguments, that they're historically ungrounded, that they've led to some very bad practices that are consistent with their doctrines, and so on. We can grant that. Now, we're not special pleading here. That's a fallacy. That's to say, we'll critique other religions rationally, but we'll exempt our own religion from rational assessment. I'm not saying that at all. I think he gives some good arguments, some, they're not all good, against Islam, Mormonism, and Eastern religions. But his arguments against Christianity, that is the essence, the structure of Christianity, are really very flippant. They don't address the best arguments on the Christian side, and they tend to be extremely acerbic, extremely vitriolic, and don't take the best arguments seriously. I'm not even convinced that Hitchens has read the best Christian philosophers and apologists defending Orthodox faith. If he has, he doesn't show it in his book.
You know, that's interesting because of all of the new atheists that have presented themselves in the publishing world in the last 5 or 10 years, some of them seem to have fallen by the wayside. Sam Harris, arguments rather flimsy. Richard Dawkins has a little more staying power, it appears. But among those, it was at least my perception that Christopher Hitchens was probably the more serious-minded of the and detached of the new atheists in his arguments. Is that true after having read his book?
Oh, by no means. I think that, comparatively speaking, Dawkins and Harris are paragons of objectivity and fairness compared to Hitchens. And I'm being sarcastic because I don't think that they are fair or objective, but I think Hitchens really takes the prize for the most obnoxious, most extreme statements. Just the subtitle of his book, How Religion Poisons Everything. Hitchens is not an academic, unlike Dawkins. He's a journalist, and that's not to dismiss him. Certainly we have good books written by journalists, but his approach is, if anything, somewhat historical. He has a good knowledge of history, and he's observed and written about contemporary history around the world, so it's interesting in that respect, but he shows no philosophical abilities whatsoever. He has a big vocabulary. He's knowledgeable. He can impress you on that level, but in terms of, in fact, putting together a coherent argument, he's very poor on that. In fact, on many areas, he's poor on that, but one example is the intelligent design movement, which gives some very powerful scientific arguments against naturalism, the argument that there are certain features of the natural world that are best explained by design, not by merely natural causes. He doesn't even present the argument for intelligent design. He simply ridicules it. Or he often just poisons the well, which is another fallacy, which is to say, well, these people are religiously motivated, so therefore their conclusions have to be wrong. Well, that's not a good argument. It's also called begging the question. You're just assuming your own position is right. Therefore, you don't give the other side a chance to really prove itself. And this is a common trend with the new atheists. They have as a principle that all religion is equally irrational, so it can all be dismissed fairly quickly, and then the rest of the job is just to replace religion with naturalism and warn people that all religions is extremely bad and we have to take the gloves off. It's not a question of tolerating these other views. And, oh, yes, religion provides some good things, but it's not rationally based. Dawkins and Hitchens and Harris believe that religion is positively toxic and irredeemable and really has no positive factors to it whatsoever.
1-877-623-MY-IE is our toll-free number this Monday, September the 15th, talking with Dr. Doug Grotheis, reviewing Christopher Hitchens' book, God Is Not Great. Jeff is listening in Philadelphia. Jeff, welcome.
Hi. I was wondering if you saw the online debate between Douglas Wilson and Christopher Hitchens. Now, Douglas Wilson takes a presuppositional apologetic, and all he was trying to establish was that if Hitchens was using objective morality, and that does not work in an atheistic framework, only works in a theistic framework. Mm-hmm. And Hitchens had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. He really, I have a background in philosophy, so I know presuppositional arguments tend to be a little bit more difficult for people, mm-hmm. but it came off really, really badly for Hitchens, and I saw an online interview with him months later. He still has no idea what Douglas Wilson did to him.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and thanks for listening in Philadelphia. About a minute to respond to Jeff's call.
Well, I have not read the account of that debate. The way that I would put it, because I don't hold the presuppositional apologetics as the best method, the way I would put it is that Christian theism gives a far better justification for an explanation for objective morality than any other worldview, including atheism, because the problem is, how do you come up with moral truth in a world of merely material facts? How do you come up with moral commands, moral laws, when there's no commander and no lawgiver? And so what many atheists do is they simply assume objective morality and then marshal it in various ways without providing any kind of what's called a meta-ethic or a metaphysical support for the very existence of morality.
Well, you say that atheism really does live on borrowed or stolen intellectual capital. Are you saying the same thing about moral capital with regard to this? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, atheists can't even explain why rationality works so good with the naturalist, with the natural world on their naturalist presuppositions, because reason is a mere accident of the universe. And as people like Alvin Plantinga and C.S. Lewis and others have argued, according to a naturalistic worldview, you'd have no reason, in fact, to trust your reason. It would just be a matter of something that appeared through natural selection. And why think that survival gives people true beliefs? We could survive and not have a whole lot of true beliefs. So I give a little bit of that kind of an argument. And again, the best explanation for reason, the best explanation for morality, is Christian theism, not atheism.
Dr. Doug Grotheis is our guest. On the other side of this break, we'll continue our review of Christopher Hitchens' book, His Thought and His Arguments in God Is Not Great. Doug Grotheis is professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, author of 10 books, including On Pascal and On Jesus. He's also written an article in a recent edition of the Christian Research Journal titled Christopher Hitchens' Sledgehammer Rhetoric. When we come back, he raised it just a moment ago, the new atheism considers religion intolerable. We'll talk about that after this.
My biggest fear is this is not the work of the devil, because there can be no devil if there is no God. And if there were a God, he would never allow such suffering.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Julie Slater, Aaron Temple, Sam, Lisa Chan, Pastor Corey Estby, Pastor Paul Goddard, Emily Luker, Pastor Juan Palm, Pastor Paul Grammett, and Jesse Sandbolte. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've just returned from the second national conference on men and abortion called Reclaiming Fatherhood. Fathers of aborted babies shared their stories of pain, grief, and shame following the deaths of their children. Experts in the field of post-traumatic stress disorder shared research and explained why men are often profoundly affected by abortion. Experts in grief describe techniques in helping men heal from the wounds of lost fatherhood. I explain to the many passionate attendees the resources we have to help hurting fathers. As more men become aware they're not alone, more will seek the help they need. If you or someone you know struggles from the effects of abortion, visit lifeissues.org. Click on Men and Abortion. We offer you help, and it's free.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
There still remain four irreducible objections to religious faith. That it wholly misrepresents the origins of man and the cosmos. That because of this original error, it manages to combine the maximum of servility with the maximum of solipsism. That it is both the result and the cause of dangerous sexual repression. And that it is ultimately grounded on wish thinking.
Christopher Hitchens reading from his book, God Is Not Great. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing that book with Dr. Doug Grotheis. In about 15 minutes, we'll discuss Hurricane Ike and the relief efforts afterwards with Pastor Bart Day. Dr. Grotheis, you said before the break that the new atheists in general, and Christopher Hitchens in particular, find Christianity intolerable. That is, they do not propose toleration, but in fact, intoleration of religious ideas and everything that goes along with it. What does a society, according to Christopher Hitchens, that does not tolerate Christianity look like?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but I know that Hitchens and also Richard Dawkins claim that raising children according to religious principles is a form of child abuse. Now, if they take that to the rational limit, child abuse is illegal, let's say sexual abuse or not feeding your children properly or beating them. That's illegal, and so the children are taken away from the parents until the parents reform. So I wonder, really, if religious instruction is child abuse, then I guess we need a big brother state telling us how to raise our children. I'm at least worried about that kind of thing. Exactly if that's what they're proposing, I'm not sure, but it seems to go in that kind of direction, because that's very strong language.
Do any of them appear to have thought it through?
Excuse me?
Do any of them appear to have thought those ideas through to that extent?
Well, again, it may just be the sledgehammer rhetoric saying that it's child abuse, but that is a very serious kind of charge, and they want a rational, naturalistic world, and they want the influence of religion to wane. And so that may go beyond withholding support from religion. It may actually go towards limiting religious expression. I'm not entirely sure, but very strong claims there. And this is not the friendly atheism of someone who's debating atheism and theism. Now, this is a very strong program that religion is fundamentally and systematically and incorrigibly not just wrong, but evil. And I think that's part of the appeal of Hitchens, that he's speaking so strongly and in some ways eloquently, at least with his vocabulary and with his wonderful British accent. But in terms of the arguments, they aren't there. It's the case of the missing argument or the missing arguments.
Do they propose anything in the place of a society permeated by religion?
Well, certainly the ethos is that of being scientific and being rational and having open debate and discovery and so on. But they're extremely ideological, especially when they don't give enough time and enough respect to the other side. But the argument is for an enlightened, rational, progressive society where we can free ourselves up from religious constraints and superstition and things like that.
So, again, coming back around to intelligent design, that at least in its barest form, none of its major proponents are arguing in favor of any particular deity or of a deity at all, for that matter, but simply of some force of design behind the things that cannot be explained otherwise. Why wouldn't they embrace such a thing?
Well, because they realize that if the intelligent design arguments work, that some features of nature are better explained by intelligent causes than merely natural or unintelligent causes, then naturalism, this closed system of cause and effect, is in deep trouble. It means that a materialistic world does not account for some very significant features of nature. So that means that naturalism is being challenged at a very significant level. And they realize that that is sort of the nose of the camel into the tent with respect to naturalism. And intelligent design is not a full-fledged Christian apologetic for the Christian worldview, but I think it is part of a Christian apologetic, and they see that. Certainly you can't go from the irreducible complexity of the bacterial flagellum to the Trinity in one step, but if the flagellum and other irreducibly complex systems cannot be explained through time and chance and natural law, if you need intelligence to explain these things, then you have to have a worldview in which intelligence is primary and not merely derivative, because in naturalism, intelligence and morality just appear at a certain period in evolutionary history. They're not pre-planned. They have no foundation beyond themselves. So the way that the new atheists deal with intelligent design typically is to ridicule it or say it's based on religious motivations, which is irrelevant because they have to deal with the scientific arguments, and the scientific arguments are powerful and really quite plentiful. Now, the closest to an argument I think that Hitchens gets is to say that appealing to a designer doesn't do any good rationally because who designed the designer? And Dawkins has been saying this over and over again. Well, you don't have to know who designed the designer to give a design explanation, for one thing. But moreover, the Christian concept of God is that of a self-existent being who has always existed. And the design explanation is to explain contingent material states. God is not a contingent material being. So God himself is not subject to that design inference the way the ID people lay it out. What I've just said is far more sophisticated than what Dawkins or Hitchens or Harris ever deal with. They just don't want to go into the deeper elements of this because they have a pretty highfalutin attitude that they're slumming to even deal with these perspectives. So they can pretty much just reject them.
You said before that Christians have no vested interest in defending religion in general, but Christianity in particular. And I'm wondering if the same is true or what is true about the new atheists. Are they dedicated to atheism per se or to naturalism? Which is the bigger thing they're trying to defend?
Well, in some ways you can say that naturalism and atheism are the same thing as two sides of the coin. Atheism is a negative doctrine. There is no God. There is no supernatural realm. Naturalism is putting it more positively that all that exists can be explained by physics, chemistry, biology, or some kind of super physics. So they're really pretty much saying the same thing, although atheism is putting it negatively, naturalism is putting it more constructively. So they want us to view the world through a thoroughly naturalistic lens, everything about the world. And if everything about the world can be explained according to chance, necessity, and a lot of time without design, without an originating mind, then of course that means that atheism is true.
So why won't they extend the same courtesy to things that appear to be miraculous? Why wouldn't they say, for instance, well, you know, miracles occur, but they would have to occur not so much as supernatural events, but as very extraordinary and rare natural events.
I mean, that account, though, they're really not miracles. They're just anomalies. Because what the atheists are concerned about is there being any supernatural cause that could affect the world in a knowable way. That's what they have to rule out. So they might grant us a little tiny bit of room for our subjective religious values, but don't say that they're facts and don't try to bring them to bear in public life.
Okay, then I'm wondering about the staying power of such arguments. If Christopher Hitchens and Dawkins and Sam Harris can sell a lot of books, obviously that doesn't mean that their arguments hold water, but how much fortitude do you think the new atheist movement really has for the future?
It's hard to say. The polling data that I've looked at says that atheism is increasing in popularity in the United States to some extent in the last 10 to 15 years. And also the percentage of people who identify as having no religious association, they're sometimes called the nones, N-O-N-E-S. It's increasing somewhat in the last 10 to 15 years, roughly speaking. But America is a deeply religious and in many ways a deeply Christian nation. We have that in our heritage. But our elite culture, that is in the academy, and in the press, to take two examples, tends to be much more secular than the rest of the country. Peter Berger years ago said America is like a nation of East Indians being ruled by a small elite of Swedes, because India is the most religious country in the world, and Sweden is probably the most secular. So we have this contrast and conflict between a lot of the gatekeepers, the elites in our culture, and people in general. And the new atheism, I think, appeals more to the elite culture, but they are making converts. And a lot of people that might have been, so to speak, closet atheists, I think, are now empowered and emboldened to be more outspoken. I teach as an adjunct at Metro State College of Denver, and a few weeks ago I was on campus, and I saw some students walking around with T-shirts that said, "Religion is a lie." Well, that's pretty much in your face. And I think we're seeing a lot of this anti-religious, anti-theistic response, partially in response to these new atheist books.
Dr. Doug Grotheis is professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary. He's author of 10 books, including On Pascal and On Jesus, and he's also written an article in a recent edition of the Christian Research Journal titled Christopher Hitchens' Sledgehammer Rhetoric. Thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome. Good to be back.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Dr. Beg Meeker, author of the new book, Boys Should Be Boys. When we come back from this break, Pastor Bart Day is going to bring us up to date on some of the Hurricane Ike relief efforts. He's associate pastor and headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. Then Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Pam Fichter will join us from Missouri Right to Life to respond to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch story about her run-in with some Republican lawmakers. And Pastor Peter Bender will continue our series with us on God the Son.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Robert Leitz, Becky Jerden, Pastor Scott Clems, Brian Vogelsang, Tyler Peel, Lynn Christensen, Jeffrey Schaefer, Pastor Gary Gelbach, John Rutz, and Pastor Matthew Ruger. Thanks for your support.